Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As we roll past New Year's into January 2nd, and we have the pleasure to be joined right now by Greg Bedard, NFL writer, Las Vegas Review-Journal, founded the Boston Sports Journal. And Greg, happy New Year. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
Happy New Year, Pete. Thanks for having me.
You know, it seems this time of year, there are plenty of people that have looked really silly questioning the New England Patriots over the years. But the Pats did not finish the season particularly strong, 4-4 over the back half of the season. Is this a team that can be got this time around?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously the loss to the Dolphins was disturbing on many levels. I mean, with so much to play for, this is a veteran team that really needed that bye. A bunch of guys dealing with stuff, whether it's Brady and Edelman and Patrick Chung on the defense. They really could have used that bye, and also, you know, a home game in the divisional round. And that they couldn't get it done. I mean, look, the offense wasn't great. Brady certainly had his issues in that game, but the offense did enough. I mean, you know, we've said all season long that, you know, if this offense can score in the 20s, mid-20s, they should be able to win, even against some of the better teams, because the defense has been that good. Well, it wasn't on Sunday. And, you know, they allowed Ryan Fitzpatrick to drive the field repeatedly, especially for the game-winning touchdown. It was a very easy drive for them. There were a lot of disturbing things on that drive, lack of pressure. Stephon Gilmore getting handed his lunch by Devontae Parker. So, you know, between the defense slumping a little bit, the offense, they've been challenged all year with a lack of weapons for Tom Brady and really no speed on the offensive side of the ball. They could definitely be had, you know, but I do think there's a path forward for them.
Yeah, and we can get into the matchup specifically with the Titans in a little bit, but what about the defense? Because it was so dominant the first half of the season, and then you have a performance like you mentioned against Miami. Has there been a general slippage? Because I think previously we had seen some of the better offenses they faced have been able to put up some points.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, they've been pretty good. I mean, you know, they're a byproduct of they played the easiest schedule in the league, you know, if you go by, you know, advanced analytics and things like that. So that certainly helped. I mean, they are still really good. And I think what happened against the Dolphins, I think, you know, if you're a Patriots optimist, you think that's a wake-up call that maybe they went through the motions a little bit for the Dolphins, weren't ready for that game. And, you know, quite frankly, they were embarrassed on Sunday night. And, you know, I expect them, especially Stephon Gilmore, normally when the lights are on these primetime games, he's at his best. I expect that unit to put forth their best effort and make things really tough on the Titans. But, you know, there have been some disturbing things. I mean, one thing that teams, the better teams like, you know, the Chiefs, the Texans, and then also the Dolphins in this last game, one thing the Patriots have been able to rely on is they've been doing a lot of zero blitzing, sending everybody in some key spots, and they've really gotten burned of late on those. Teams know that around midfield and like second or third and long, for some reason the Patriots like to send the house, and teams are prepared for that, and they have a counter, and they've been killing them with big plays and touchdowns out of that. And if, you know, if the Patriots can adjust there and sort of hold down those plays a little bit more, I think they can be a lot better in this game.
I know we saw those zero blitzes. They destroyed the Jets and Sam Darnold on Monday Night Football for everybody to see. But as you mentioned, some counters of late there. And then offensively, what has surprised me is even without Rob Gronkowski and some of the weapons they were accustomed to seeing there, the Patriots have always seemed to find a way to build as the season's going along, and then boom, they head into the playoffs and they have everything humming. Do you get that sense this year with an offense that, all right, scored some points last game, but hasn't exactly been consistent?
Yeah, I mean, look, the offensive line has gotten better. Isaiah Wynn, second-year kid who missed his rookie year, his first-round pick with injury, he's gotten better with every game that he's played. Joe Tooney's been outstanding, and Shaq Mason has finally rebounded and sort of played on his all-pro level. So they're doing a better job with the running game and then the screen game, and they're getting, you know, more out of N'Keal Harry, the first-round rookie receiver. But outside of that, they've had a tough time because the smart teams, what they're doing is they're doubling Julian Edelman either on either play, every play, or third down and in the red zone. And then where the loss of Gronkowski really hurt, and not having like an Antonio Brown or a Josh Gordon type that dictates sort of coverage, is now teams are freed up without a Gronkowski out there. They're freed up to put a defensive back on James White. Instead, he used to get linebackers and exploit that matchup. So if you double Edelman, you have a plan for Edelman, and then you put a defensive back on James White. The Patriots have a really hard time finding plays, but you know they have been getting better. If they could just get something out of Mohamed Sanu in the postseason, I think they have a chance to do enough, as long as the defense is lights out.
And he's capable, as we chat with Greg Bedard, yep. NFL writer, founded the Boston Sports Journal, and, of course, the Las Vegas Review-Journal NFL writer there as well. We'll go around to some of these playoff matchups as well. But, you know, the Patriots, they get Tennessee this weekend. The only way I see the Titans winning this game is if they're able to play from ahead the entire time and Derrick Henry is able to just wear out the Patriots over the course of the game. But I feel like if the Patriots get any kind of lead in this game, it's pretty much lights out there at Foxborough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I think either way, I think the Titans have, you know, they certainly have enough weapons to cause the Patriots trouble. I mean, I think the Titans can play this game any number of ways. I don't think it's the same, you know, for the Patriots. I think the big key is going to be, you know, can the Patriots defense get turnovers? Can they turn over Ryan Tannehill, which they've been able to do in the past on that field when Tannehill's been with the Dolphins? If they can do that, that's sort of where this defense has made a living and giving short fields to the offense. That's the formula for the Patriots. So I think the big thing is, can Tannehill play mistake-free football against this defense? Because if he doesn't, I do think the Patriots win.
One more on the Pats. If they lose this weekend, next weekend, whatever that might be, is this an offseason where you expect major change for the franchise?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, guys, like, I think Josh McDaniels is probably out the door. I think he's ready to take, you know, a job. So the question is, who becomes offensive coordinator after that? And, of course, you know, the big thing, they have a ton of free agents, including like Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, Devin McCourty, guys who have been core guys here. And, of course, there's the whole Tom Brady question. And I don't think anybody, including Tom, knows, you know, what's going to happen. But I could tell you he has no intentions to retire. So, you know, is this going to be his last home game? It quite possibly could be. So, really, nobody knows what's going to happen. They are going into uncharted territory for this franchise in the offseason.
Well, you mentioned Josh McDaniels, one of the candidates for the New York Giants right now. Would you see him as a fit in New York as a head coach? And with what happened with the Colts a couple of years ago, how much do you think that's going to be a factor for NFL teams when they consider him during these interviews?
I mean, obviously they're going to ask about it, and it's going to be a factor. I mean, I do think that McDaniels will have ways to explain that so people understand it. You know, a lot of it was he never knew his sitting with the Patriots. And also, you know, when push came to shove, you know, really that was a GM strong sort of makeup there, where Chris Ballard, you know, had a lot of say over everything, including, you know, things that people don't talk about, like, you know, medical, strength and conditioning, things like that, where I think Josh McDaniels would, you know, like to be in charge of that kind of stuff. And so what's the setup going to be with the Giants? You know, obviously they're bringing back Dave Gettleman. You know, I don't know if they have a relationship. I have a great deal of respect for Dave and his eye for talent. But, you know, will that sort of thing be able to mesh? I mean, I would doubt it. I would think that McDaniels would be more open to, you know, jobs in, say, Carolina and Cleveland, where he might be able to have a bigger say in terms of the entirety of the football operations.
It certainly sounds like that could be the case in Cleveland, where you can have some say in the front office, perhaps, depending on how they decide to do things there with all the changes going on with the Browns. But as we look around the rest of the playoffs, as we chat with Greg Bedard, Las Vegas Review Journal, as well as the founder of the Boston Sports Journal, do you agree with the chalk, the Ravens, the favorite going into the NFL playoffs?
I do. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that the Chiefs are certainly playing well. The reason why I'm not as high on the Chiefs as some other people is that, you know, I don't think Mahomes has been nearly as good this year. And, you know, when they played the Patriots, I mean, they didn't even play well. They easily could have lost that game. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, Mahomes looks very jittery ever since the injury to me in the pocket. He does not have the same confidence in the same bravado as far as hanging in the pocket and making plays. And he's making up a lot of plays as he goes along. And so, you know, I just think at the end of the day, I think the Ravens with home field advantage, and also, you know, that I think Lamar Jackson, that offense is more consistent than the Chiefs are. You know, I think that makes them the favorite in the AFC.
And we won't see the Ravens for a couple of weeks, the number one seed in the AFC. As far as this weekend goes, wild card round, we talked a little bit about Patriots, Titans, those other three matchups. Is there one in particular that you're really excited to see and you think is the best game, best matchup of the weekend?
Well, you know, I think that I think they're all intriguing. I mean, certainly the Vikings and the Saints have a long history. I don't like, you know, Kirk Cousins as far as his, you know, ability to, you know, play on the road in that kind of atmosphere and sure. That kind of big game. You know, Buffalo and Houston should be a really tight affair. I mean, you know, it's one team that, you know, is so disciplined, you know what they're going to get. In the Bills and the Texans are a bit of a wild card. They can be really good, they can be terrible, and of course Billy O'Brien's postseason history hasn't been good. But I think the most interesting game is, you know, the Seahawks and the Eagles, you know, two sort of beat up teams trying to find their way. The Seattle's been tremendous on the road, 7-1, I think, this season. The Eagles are sort of, you know, making it work with smoke and mirrors, and, you know, that's going to be a crazy atmosphere in front of those fans. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to sort of the weekend being capped with that one.
Yeah, I think that'll be the game of the weekend, and, you know, that's the one where the spread is the closest and that kind of thing. But with it being in Philadelphia and with what Doug Peterson has done over the past few years, it's all you can count out Philadelphia, even with all of the injuries and all of the weapons that they have lost over these last few months.
Oh, sorry, what was that?
Well, just the fact you can't count out Philadelphia.
No, I know. I mean, the thing about, you know, Doug Peterson is, you know, I think I heard the stat the other day. Is something like they're like, you know, 6-7-0 over the last two or three seasons in games where it was like, you know, do or die. And, you know, they just have a toughness. And, you know, they might not be great during the regular season, but when push comes to shove, Peterson and his staff really come out with, you know, good game plans that can be executed. And they have, you know, tough, hard-nosed players. I mean, that's a defensive front and a defense overall that I would not want to have to drive the field with the game on the line, especially if they're at home. So I think that's a team that's tough to kill and sort of, you know, it's certainly probably better than their record indicates.
Looking forward to getting it all going. We appreciate you, Greg, for joining us on the show. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pete.
All right. Enjoy the new year.
All right, see ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.